Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Humor Outcast Radio. I'm Donna Kavanaugh, and tonight we have we have as my guest on the show one of our newest authors from HO Press, Keith Stewart. Keith's book, which is just one of the funniest books I've ever read, is called Bernadette Peters Hates Me, True Tales of a Delusional Man. The essays are just so funny. It's also nonfiction, which makes me want to know more about this man's life. And the book is doing so well. So I'm going to bring in Keith right now, and we're going to talk all about the book and his life. So, Keith, are you there?
I am. Hi.
So, unless people read the one essay from the title, they're going to sit back and say, what the heck is this book about? But it is the funniest one. And this is the question that people, when they've seen the book, they ask me, what does that mean? What does that title mean? And I tell them, buy the book and you'll find out. So tell the people who are listening about that title and about that event.
The title all comes from getting tickets to see Bernadette Peters in concert for a charity event. And we actually had VIP tickets that got us in to an after party so we could meet Bernadette Peters. And so I had just spent the entire week, you know, devoted to what I was going to say and where and do and everything when I met Bernadette, because I wanted to just impress her so much. And
what did you think was going to happen, that she was going to be so impressed? Was she going to say, come work for me? Come be my writer?
Yes,
my
exactly. I just love you. Come with me and hang out. I just thought I was going to be your new best friend. And so in my mind, I'm going over all these different things I could say, you know, to make an impression on her. And so I'm going, like, over her movies and her songs and what Broadway shows she'd been in. And, you know, I kind of had it all set out. I thought, this is perfect. And we get there and we get, you know, in line to meet her. And it's finally my turn. And I kind of go up and I shake her hand. And I said, you know, you'll probably never guess what my favorite movie role of yours was. And she was like, oh, you know, what? And I said, Blazing Saddles. And it was like all of the air sucked out of the room, and she just kind of got this look. And it was clueless of why she had gotten the look. And she said, oh, well, I wasn't in Blazing Saddles. And it just stunned me so much because I was sure she was. All these years, I was sure it was her. And I had planned this out for a week or two of exactly what I was going to say. And I just would not take no for an answer. I was like, no, you were in the movie. You were in it. And she, you know, kept arguing back that she was not in the movie. And finally she says, you know, Madeline Kahn was in that movie and she was great in it, but I wasn't in it. And as soon as she said Madeline Kahn, I knew deep down that it was Madeline Kahn. It was not Bernadette Peters. And then, you know, it kind of just ran over me that I don't even know who Bernadette Peters is, I don't think, at this point, because what if everything I thought she was in was Madeline Kahn. And
so is your favorite then person then Madeline Kahn and not Bernadette Peters?
I still like Bernadette Peters, although I don't think she likes me very much.
Did you have to switch fan clubs?
Exactly, right then and there. But I would not give up, even though I knew I was losing. You know, I was like, well, I'm sure you'll remember. You were in that movie. I know you were. And knowing that she wasn't. She finally, I think, made a little tug on her ear or some sign to security, like to move on to the next person in the meet and greet.
Okay, but in your defense, I mix up Madeline Kahn and Bernadette Peters all the time.
I think they're very similar.
Right. Well, they have that big voice. They have the long red hair. They do comedy. You know.
Yeah.
So it's,
well,
so easy.
I think that the thing that bothered her most probably is there's like maybe a 10 or 15 year age difference between them. So that may have not worked in my favor for her, for Bernadette.
You know, she was, I remember, she grew up somewhere around where I grew up in northern New Jersey. Bernadette Peters, not Madeline Kahn. And her family owned this huge bakery, Lazzaro's Bakery. They provided all the Italian bread and rolls and everything for all the different restaurants. So you would think, knowing that and having her family's face and all these articles, that I would never mix them up. And I still mix them up.
Well, that makes me feel better that someone else does too. It's not just
absolutely.
Me. Because, yeah, everyone from my partner to my mom to everyone like acted like I was completely crazy, that of course everyone knew the difference. You know,
of course,
and why
they're
would
not
I do
stick
that?
Up for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're gonna cut loose and run. They're not
exactly.
gonna be
that's
there.
Exactly. That's what they did.
Yeah.
Put some distance between themselves and me.
Right. Yeah. Especially if there was a security issue involved, they would have left you in a heartbeat. Yeah, we'll
they
bail you
have.
Out sometime tomorrow.
Exactly, but just not tonight.
Aw, well, but that chapter got so many comments that people were rolling on the floor laughing about that, because that's like that embarrassing thing that really could happen to a lot of people. Okay, maybe not Bernadette Peters, but something else where you're just so sure and you're arguing it and it's coming back and it's a public event and you're just lost, and there's just no way out of it except to slink out of the room. There's no redeeming way out of it.
Exactly.
But I think the people were, besides laughing hysterically at that you did this, is that it's very relatable. I mean, your humor is very relatable. We all get into those embarrassing positions that we really don't know how to extricate ourselves from. And you do it so well.
I don't know. I think it happens so often that I decided, you know, I've got to laugh at it, and, you know, I might as well tell it on myself before someone else tells. And so it kind of developed into that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, everybody has those humiliating public, you know, encounters.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so I kind of look at it instead of like praying that no one saw you, just go ahead and tell everyone what you did. And,
and get it all over with at one time.
Exactly.
You know, they'll salute you for your honesty and your openness instead of like, oh my God, I hope they don't see it on YouTube or something like that.
Exactly.
So did you always, because I don't want to give too much of the book away, but all your essays have this little common thread that, oh my God, he's going to get himself into this kind of a pickle. So were you always like, is it like in your DNA that you get into these predicaments or find yourself? How does this happen, Keith?
I'm not sure. It has always happened, though. Since I was a young boy, I have always been able just to find the one thing that would get me in trouble, you know, or if there were two doors to pick, I would pick the one that led to the most chaos. And there is a little DNA. I have a few cousins and a niece who have the same genes for sure, because they get themselves into quite a few things. So, you know, I think it's a little.
Maybe there's a chromosome for that. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
Your family, though, talk about your cousins. Your family is this is very nice. Your family is very important to you. You have one sister. You have a niece. You grew up in Kentucky, in Appalachia, right?
Right.
And
right.
So, but this area, even though the media makes fun of this area constantly. But that's not the perception. And partly behind this, the humor in this book, too, is to show people that do you say Appalachia or do you say Appalachia?
Appalachia.
Okay. I'm going to say the right way. I'm not the northeast way.
Right.
So part of your reasoning or whatever through this book is that you really want to show that Appalachia is not, you know, the Andy Griffith show times 10. So tell the real story. Tell the real vision of Appalachia you want to show people. What do you see it as that we don't, maybe?
Well, yeah, because really all you see is either the hillbilly stereotype or, you know, drug use and poverty and that sort of combination.
Not everybody has a meth lab.
Yeah. And so a lot of, you know, I just want to make a point in a lot of my stories to just to drop in that it's happening, you know, here in Appalachia because normal things happen here, you know, it's like they do everywhere else. And I think just having those type of stories, you know, be Appalachian stories can help overcome some of that, you know, hey, wait, they do have a Walmart or, you know, they do have a mall. They do things that we do. And,
they go to school, for real.
Exactly. They are educated. They go
you
to
don't
Bernadette
marry your
Peters.
First cousin.
Exactly. So just, you know, in that way, I don't really probably go out of my way to stress Appalachia a lot in the books. But, you know, most of the stories take place there and you know, I just want it to be known that they take place there, so people, like I said, can know that it's not all what the media portrays.
Right, which is a quick target for the media to portray
yeah.
it that way.
Right.
But I think your love for the area truly comes through. Despite the chaos that goes around you in this area. The love for your home, your hometown. Truly comes through. And you actually moved away and came back,
yes.
Which only, again, is a testament to the fact that how much you love the region and the people and the community.
Right.
And it seems like it's a much more unified community where people just give each other a bit of a break, a nicer world.
Yeah, I think it really is a nicer world. And it's really a live and let live kind of atmosphere. And I moved away to Florida for 5 or 6 years, and you know, just I basically always knew I would move back to Kentucky. Florida never quite seemed like home, and
there's icky bugs and they have alligators.
They
Kentucky
do.
Doesn't have that, right?
We have a few bugs, but we have no alligators, which helps
okay,
a
so
lot.
Okay, so yeah, that's better for me all the way around.
Yeah, exactly. Although there are a few times in mid-January when the snow's coming down that you like wonder if you were crazy forever leaving the beach.
Being
but
Florida, yeah. Yeah,
but
for one season. Like I said, the love for you, for your home really comes through, which is nice because sometimes humor books are just in your face trying to make people laugh, and which works. But to get the feeling that you have for your family, your home, even your extended family, you talk about your cousins,
right.
And
right.
It's nice. I mean, it adds another dimension to a humor book. So I congratulate you for that because you did get across that whole thing really clearly in the midst of all your chaos.
Yes, and I think in my book there's a few cousin stories that are, you know, they encourage a lot. If they're not in the middle of it, at least they are in the background, you know.
They're instigators of it.
So they are, exactly.
Yeah. And I just think I should stick up for you and say you probably were innocent in some of these things. But
exactly.
Yes, it was really their fault. And you just happened to get caught up in it.
Exactly. They just weren't caught is the thing.
You know, but I want to talk about, too, is how you got into humor and your background, because you really come from a strong business background. Tell people where you went to college, because this is I'm jealous that you went to college and I didn't go here.
I went to Transylvania University in Lexington, Kentucky. And it is
That's
a real school.
Cool.
That's always the first question that most people ask. And no, we are not the vampires. That was always another question.
Mm-hmm. Well, they should have one of those.
I bet
Halloween was fun there, though.
It is. There's an entire week devoted to Halloween there, so they use the name a lot for that, and you know, and we have had a lot of good different events centered around that.
And in the midst of going to this real school, which honestly it is a real school, I have heard of it before, and it's accredited and all that.
It is.
You also have your MBA. You were an accountant. You were an entrepreneur. You owned a lot of different businesses.
Uh-huh.
And then you worked in Florida in the corporate world. And then this is one of my favorite lines in your bio. Your company moved there. Tell them about that, because that's my favorite. Why did you move back to Kentucky?
Yeah, they moved and did not really invite me to move with them. So,
but they moved to like Honduras or something.
Yeah,
right?
They moved. It was Guatemala, I think, was the country, and you know, to do American payroll there, that sort of thing, and which, you know, made total no sense to me, but they were not interested in me going either.
So you took it as a sign that you needed to go home then.
It was time to go home after that.
And but is it different, like, because you have such a outgoing personality. We're so different from a lot of accountants,
right? Yeah.
Okay, well, that's probably hence why they didn't ask you to go with them.
It probably has a lot to do with it. I wasn't real high on the totem pole.
Another mystery solved in your life, Gina. but then you made this, somehow the segue into humor. I mean, I know you were always funny and you told stories, but how did you get going from the verbal stories and making people laugh and just saying, okay, I really want to do this with writing? How did that all come about?
I always was interested in writing, but I just never, you know, had time, I told myself, or never did it. And when I moved back, you know, I was kind of stepping back and thinking, you know, what am I going to do? What do I want to work in a cubicle for the rest of my life? That sort of thing. I guess it was a midlife crisis. But I realized that, you know, if I was ever going to write, if I wanted to do that, if it was something that I was interested in, that I needed to maybe, you know, start doing it. And so I tinkered around writing a little, and about, you know, a month or so after I had started a blog, I found a writing conference that was in my area, and a local publisher, you know, was sponsoring it. And I just signed up and went, and thankfully everyone there, all the instructors and other participants were very welcoming and open, you know. And when you go around and like the first session and say who you are and you know, what you've written before, yeah, I was a CPA who had written nothing, and they were all so inclusive and you know, very, very encouraging. And
that's
actually
wonderful, because sometimes
yeah,
it does not happen. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's, if they had been, you know, the type that, you know, weren't that welcoming, I probably wouldn't have, you know, continued on like I did. But with their encouragement and everything, I thought, okay, you know, I think I can do this. And so I just,
yeah,
you know, kept at it and kept at it and kept trying to get better. And actually I kind of sought out a few other conferences that the same people, you know, were going to be instructors at and that sort of thing. So you know, and just kind of kept working at it, because I can look back now, you know, at some of the things I write now compared to then, and you can see the CPA in the beginning. I just wanted to write very brief sentences and, you know, get to the point, and that's it. So there was a long jump from business typewriting to humor writing.
Yeah, you've got your creative juices flowing, and and that's wonderful. We owe them a lot because, you know, had you gotten discouraged, you might not have pursued it, and that would have been a shame, because I think you're starting to realize, and don't blush, and I know you get embarrassed, but I think you're starting to realize how many people find you to be so talented with humor, which is a hard thing for people. You know, it's one of the hardest genres. So for you to be so talented with it, it's, you know, it's wonderful that they sensed it and they welcomed you.
Kudos
to them. Yeah. And so I want to talk about your blog, A Strong Man's Cup of Tea. We'll put that all up when we post the show for Friday morning, and we'll have the link to it. So you started that in 2010, right?
Yes, I did. I started, that's where, you know, basically writing my stories there, and I just wanted it to be kind of a place that I could, you know, a little bit, and see if what I thought was funny anyone else thought was funny, and it's kind of developed from there over the years that, you know, now I have quite a few of my own stories, but then I also kind of look for funny stories in the news and a lot of different other types of humor to put on there, but it's been a lot of fun, and it's helped me a lot with my writing.
And do you find you've really had, like, a complete turnaround in how you think, like, creatively. You're always which is great for a writer, you're always trying to reach to the next level, or you're always trying to see, okay, what else can I find funny? Or and again, that's an accomplishment, because sometimes writers get caught in their niche and they never try and climb out or experiment. Uh-huh. And your blog is a testament to that. If when people read that, they see all the different things, your humor and what you find funny. And sometimes people's humor changes over the years, too. What you might have found funny 5 years ago, you might not find funny now. Or opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you let it all go on there, which is great. How'd you get the title? What's the title for the blog? What's that about?
Well, the title a lot has to do with the things that happen to me on a day-to-day basis. My mother, one of her catchphrases every time, you know, I would call and say, well, you're never going to guess what happened today, or, you know, I've done this today. And she would always say, you know, Keith, it takes a strong man to live your life. That, you know, that was any time I would call with an embarrassing situation, she would always tell me that it took a strong man to live my life. And so I kind of just was playing around with that, and my friend Ann actually said, how about, you know, a strong man's cup of tea? And it just kind of, you know, a light kind of went off, and we're like, yeah, that sounds good.
That's it.
Yeah.
your mom, she's fun. I like when you talk about your mom, like, in so many of your stories, and So did you consider her like a patient woman?
She's very patient, yes. she puts up with a lot. There's some of the stories and some of the things that I have shared with the world, her only response is like, OMG. And a lot of times on my Facebook, that there's several OMGs just from, you know, status updates that I do, but she tolerates it all. I try not to tell a direct story about her. You know, if she's in it, then I go ahead. But, you know, I lay off if she's done something embarrassing. I don't put that in. I know what my limits are with her.
So is she like this very? Would you say she's like a genteel Southern lady, or?
She actually is not that genteel. She's very, she's pretty set in her ways, but I think maybe being the baby boy lets me by with a lot more or something. Or she's given up any hope of, you know, trying to do anything with me.
She just says, okay, I just give up. It's good. Yeah, he is what he is. I'm going with that.
Exactly. I think that's probably more like it.
And, you know, in case anybody's wondering, because I'm not going to tell the other stories, you have to read the book to get all the other stories. But there are some where you sit there and say, oh, that poor woman.
Yeah. She gets quite a few comments.
She still loves him.
Because, and, you know, you would think, too, that I'm in my mid-40s, that at this point I would stop calling to tell her, you know, these things. Because
some of them,
there's really no need for her to know. But I still just know she'll want to know that. Guess how I humiliated myself
really?
Yesterday.
Really? You think?
He's like, oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. So, see, people, so you have to read this book. And this is why, you know, it's really selling very well, is because I think people are just getting a sense, just everything. When the cover was done by Duane Booth, I think that gave the book, it just solidified the whole thing.
Yeah, I think the cover is great. It's wonderful.
And it is. He's a very talented artist. And but when they saw those Bernadette Peters tendrils,
yeah,
they said it brought the whole thing to life, and it made people say, okay, I got to really understand why. I was half expecting Bernadette Peters people to email me,
uh-huh.
but they didn't. Go figure.
She's probably like blocked me.
I remember him.
Yes. Stay away from that guy.
Imagine that. I remember this guy.
Oh, yes. He's the guy. Completely did not know who I was.
But you know what? She's got to live with it because they are sort of separated at birth type women,
yeah,
entertainers.
So,
they're going to have to deal with it. That's it.
Exactly.
That's it. And look, what did I tell you? I told you Keith was a little nervous at the beginning about doing a half hour, and I told you it would fly by, and it did.
And
we're
did.
Down to
it
the last 2 minutes.
Wow.
So I want to tell people exactly where to find the book. The name of the book again is Bernadette Peters Hates Me, True Tales of a Delusional Man, and you have to read the rest of the tales. They're just so funny. The best place to get it, unless you're in Kentucky with Keith, is Amazon, and it's also on other online retailers, but Amazon.com. It's available in paperback and Kindle. And Keith's book launch party is April 9th in Lexington at the Morris Bookshop. And we will be posting the flyer, the link to the flyer, the link to his blog, the link to the book, all these links to make sure that if you're in the area, please stop by. It is just a wonderful, wonderful book. In this world where you just need a good laugh every day, this book truly does it. It is just so funny. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. You covered everything.
Did I cover anything? I try. And the show will be up on Friday morning on humoroutcast.com, where Keith also writes for us once in a while, and he visits, and every time he writes, he gets a huge read because people just love his humor. Check out the other writers. Their only goal is to make you laugh every day. And that's it. That's what we got. So check out the book. Check out Keith's work. And everyone have a great week. Keith, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy and proud to have published your book. You're amazing.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, everyone. Have a great week. And we'll be back soon. Thanks.